Hey Bads, this is Michael Wu from the Badass Asian Dudes moderating team. Before we jump into this episode, we have a few announcements for you. This Saturday, October 31st from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, we'll be having a special Halloween speed networking social hour using the app Hi Right Now, made by fellow Badass Asian Dude Stephen Choi. Sign up with the link in the description. We're also working on some hot merch right now, so go to badassasiandudes.com/subscribe to get on the waitlist. Early subscribers get 15% off their first order. We've also compiled choice insights from the podcast into a free guide, 9 Ways to Become a Badass Asian Dude, which you can download at that same link. All right, now give this episode a listen and tell us what you think.
All right, welcome to a new episode of the Badass Asian Dudes podcast. I'm Michael Wu, one of the moderators for the Badass Asian Dudes group on Facebook. And here with me, I have, as a co-host, Brandon. Brandon, you want to talk about yourself?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm a strength and conditioning coach, but I found all the Badass Asian Dudes through Facebook. And here I am actually going to get to know our guest because I read his story and I was super excited about it. So, Michael, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest?
Oh, sure. I forgot to mention, I'm a software engineer based out of Tokyo. But here with me, we have Kent Yoshimura. Kent, do you want to talk about yourself for a bit?
Yeah, good pronunciation on the Japanese last name, by the way. I guess that comes from you living in Japan. You got the practice.
He's fluent now.
Yeah, I can give a little brief intro about myself. I am co-founder and CEO of a company called Neuro, where we make supplementation in the form of gum and mints, so you could take that with you wherever you go. And alongside that, I have a background that's heavily rooted in athletics. I used to go to Japan every year to train for the Olympics in judo, and I used to travel to Thailand to fight out there in Muay Thai. And post that, I got really involved with the art world and primarily film, music, and painting murals. So some of those things I still do now alongside the business, but that's me in a nutshell.
That's so cool, great. Man.
Yeah, so I met Kent in Japan last year when I was hanging out there for a month. We met him through a mutual friend. We went out to go eat, and I think he was peddling some hard substances at me, aka caffeine pills. I was like, wow, what is this? And I had one. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I was like, and I immediately was like, okay, I got to get a subscription for my startup. And
it was more than a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite some time ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's lost track of time because
I know COVID.
Yeah.
We're in a time warp.
Yeah. So my first question for you, this is a question that we ask all of our guests, is what does a badass Asian dude mean to you?
It's so funny because when I think about Asian people in general, and our culture is so embedded in humility. So calling yourself badass is very, like, it feels awkward to me. Like, it's interesting. But at the same time, there is like a level of confidence that you need to take on yourself to be able to approach anything in life. And badass Asian dude to me represents that, like, not innate, not like superficially announcing that you are badass, but adopting it as your own. So that's my brief little answer.
Maybe I like it. He got it succinct, man.
Yeah, it's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, the humility part for sure is, it's like, it's so ostentatious to just be like, yeah, badass Asian dude. Someone's like, ooh.
You don't ever call your conversation. Yeah, but people hopefully recognize it through our actions. And I think that's what makes, I don't know, to me being Asian, I feel like that's what makes us special. Like, we have to execute or else you're just speaking about it.
Great. So honestly, I only knew you through Neuro. And I saw your post about your mural art and I didn't even realize you had a athletic background. Can you talk a little bit about the athletics and how that helped develop your mindset?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I grew up on athletics. I started karate when I was 5. My parents were both working, so I was deeply embedded into like either karate studio or doing music and art, which was something I pursued later. And it ultimately became this thing that I did get better at through, you know, just being involved with it. And in college, the end of high school and college, I decided to take it more seriously. So I started training with more professional teams, and that led me into going to Japan. I trained with the Imperial Guards, being one of their training partners there. So that was a big part of my summers every year. And in Thailand, you know, I have one of the best coaches, Sumat Payakarun, who's considered one of the greatest Muay Thai fighters of all time. Extremely fortunate and privileged to meet him, but I was able to just gain these skills that, I guess, what's funny is growing up with insecurities, you try to use fighting as a way of overcompensating, but once you get to that level, you can't do that. It just has to become part of your lifestyle. And all of a sudden, it makes you look inwards on what does it mean to be just a good person, I guess, but you can't, like, not using your actions to speak louder than your words. And I think that's where perhaps the mentality aspect of it came into play.
Got it. Wow, the Imperial Guards, they must have been super badass.
Yeah, they're actually not that good though. don't show this podcast to them.
I doubt they're gonna be listening to this podcast.
Translating it. But the people at the Kodokan, the people at Kyokushinkan, like the college level judo players are insane in Japan. And they have nothing to lose, you know, versus I'm some kid from California.
Japanese people take mastery to this, like, what we think of in America as mastery, and it's like, well, they consider like, oh, that's entry level.
Right. You didn't massage the octopus for 10 years, bro. Like,
you're just a beginner.
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely transformed myself through athletics too. And it, when I did get past the insecure point, I was like, oh my gosh, I just really resonated what you said. Like, having physical power, and then you have to actually ask yourself, what am I going to do with this? Like,
right.
What was I covering up in the first place that I needed to work so hard? And I was just kind of curious where that part of the journey took you.
Well, there's limitations to the body, but there's no limitations to the mind. And, you know, in many ways, that's rooted in why we started Neuro also. Neuro is not just about enhancing performance with your body and you're energized, like drinking a Red Bull. Like, for us, this is something that should resonate through all means of how you think about the mind as a CPU, the central nervous system representing what controls so much more of your mentality, your life, your physique, your physicalities, everything.
Yeah. That the nervous system, I mean, that I'm interested because you brought that word up, and a lot of people don't mention that typically in athletics. They say, oh, like this muscle or this move, but they don't talk about the nervous system. And I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, so strength and conditioning, a lot of prepping into, have you heard of like central nervous system shock or peripheral nervous system shock?
Yeah.
You need to prep your body into being prepared to work out. You need to prepare your body into being prepared to get into a state of active flow. And that is something that I think a lot of people ignore when they just get themselves into working out and then they end up burning themselves out. So ideally, we want to be a product / lifestyle brand that focuses on, look, this isn't a magic pill. Nothing's a magic pill. But we are a product that should get you into a mindset to get over that first hump to enhance yourself, whatever it is, whatever way you enhance it, to the next level.
What made you want to make your own consumer products? How did you even step up to that? Like, I'm going to do my own thing now, or I'm going to make a thing instead of going into a corporate job.
I mean, what made you move to Japan? You know, that's crazy. Like, I look at that and everything starts with the mind. To make that move to Japan probably took so much out of you. And in the same way for me, it was, I mean, I always wanted to be independent. I've never really held a real job outside of working at a music studio for 2 years. And then everything else was freelance and independent. For me, Nero represented something that it didn't start off like this. You know, like I think originally it started off like this is a need that people have. You shouldn't be taking just a supplement once a day and believing that it's going to change your life. And for me, this was something I wanted to take on the daily. If I were going to embed health into my life, supplementation into my life, it was going to be something that was a part of my routine. And I guess that's where it started. Knowing that this was representing something that was so much more than what just making money, but more so just, this is a lifestyle I want to live. Create a product that represents who I am as a person.
But you didn't have any fears that that it wouldn't be enough or it wouldn't be enough to like sustain you or anything like that?
I mean, of course, like, you know, early on, the way I made money was I gave myself to cancer treatment, like fake cancer treatment on clinical trials where they would pay me for hospital stays. You know, I paint murals because like I wasn't making any money then, but now it's making me more money than I do make. I pay myself in salary at Nero, you know, because I want that business to grow. But I also know that I have a sustainable side gig, thankfully. And all these things are, one, I'm very lucky and fortunate that it all worked out. But two, pushing me towards not doing something just for money, but doing something because it builds me as a person and it builds my character. And I don't know, it becomes holistic at that point.
Got it.
Yeah. That's cool, man. I like that you say that you want something that just goes with your lifestyle rather than building a business around one particular product that is just supposed to make money.
Right.
You know, living by examples. I think I respect a lot of people who do. They often succeed because people see belief and they're like, oh, I you know, and I read some of your story and I was like, oh, you mentioned that you guys had contact with a lot of Redditors and got backing from Reddit, which I think is awesome. That's super cool.
Yeah. They're, I mean, I'm on Reddit every day. Like, I shouldn't be. I'm like addicted to it. You know?
I love Reddit, man.
And it's, if you harness the right community, like those were people I was talking to and interacting with on a daily basis, like at an addictive level. It made me realize like, well, why not? Like bring them into this.
It's full of early adopters, you know, like people were just like, fuck it, I'll try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wasn't thinking about it in a business sense. It came to be that it was just like, hey, these are the people I'm already talking to when I'm testing supplements. What would they think about this? And I think that authenticity and that genuineness probably translated into something more.
Mm. Yeah. They say definitely having a bunch of really enthusiastic early adopters is more important than having a bunch of people who are like really lukewarm about your product.
Of course, you know, like that's, but that's life also. You don't want lukewarm friends. I want friends that are like, have my back in the same way I have their back. And that's the culture we're trying to cultivate at Nero.
Yeah. What was the growth process like at the company? When did you guys start them and how did that growth process go? And like, how was that for you? How were the struggles?
Yeah. I mean, the struggles were real, you know, sleeping on Ryan's couch and trying to make money and shipping product out of my house. But customer service was my phone. And what was crazy was, so we launched this thing. I post on Reddit and it just blows up. Like literally in 3 days, we reach our goal, which wasn't that much, but still it was like $20,000 at the time to me was like, holy crap. Like that's more money than I made ever in 3 days. And Dr. Oz out of the blue contacts us and wants to talk about us. Time Magazine writes about us. And now all of a sudden we're running out of inventory because they're just like, I didn't, you know.
What?
And my phone is just blowing up 24/7. I was getting PTSD. It was crazy. But
you're like, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, I'm not ready for engagement. And what's crazy is like, that was great as a start because it was positive conditioning for me to and my business partner to believe that this is something that's really going to work. But then nothing's sustainable unless you build a foundation and a structure behind it. And for me, my journey in business was forcing that understanding of what does management look like? What does raising money look like? What does how do you tell the difference between someone that's trying to scam you out of money and a good investor? All those things culminating into what we are now has just been this unbelievable journey. And when I look back at it, but in the moment, you're just focused on what you want to create and what you want to do. And that's just create a great product and get a bunch of people that are not lukewarm, but super stoked about it.
How were you able to put yourself out there and ask investors for money? Like, did that require confidence?
Again, like I look at our journey and look at it as so much luck, but you know, we didn't raise money until 2 years into the business. You know, Ryan was working at Hulu. I was painting mural, like my mural gig was working. I also built like experiences, which was a business that was doing extremely well. I was also doing like the clinical trials and all this random stuff to make money, doing Postmates. And it was during that, there's an incubator that reached out to us because we were getting some media attention. And they were trying to take 20% of our business without investing any money. And that at that time, Ryan and I felt really weird about it. But I was in the elevator figuring out whether I should say yes or no to this deal. And this guy is standing next to me and asked me if I am part of Neuro. And he was about to meet me, or about to meet this the head of the incubator, on whether to basically invest in the fund as an LP to invest partly in us. And he gives me his business card and he's like, don't go with them. I'm going to invest personally in you $250,000. And he ended up being this guy named Brian Lee, who started LegalZoom, oh, Honest Company, Shoedazzle, and recently came out on top with a $4.2 billion acquisition of Honey by PayPal. He's wow. One of the richest Asians in LA. He's like a multi-billionaire. Crazy rich Asians, dude. And
that is crazy. They can't make that story up, man.
Dude, it was crazy. And we met. I literally met with him at a coffee shop the next week. He loved our business and they invested in us. That was how we got our first investor. Yeah.
Oh, man. What a good story.
Dude, it is so lucky, but it was so crazy. It was like such a pivotal moment in our life.
But then you later went on Shark Tank, or was Shark Tank before this?
No, Shark Tank was way after. Like this was, this was 3 years ago now. That happened. We started getting these retail gigs. Our e-commerce started, you know, blowing up. We started getting evangelists. And Shark Tank was this year. Joe Rogan was this year. A lot of our retail activations have been in the last 2 years. You know, Target just put a PO into us last week. And it's crazy. Like, you know, like we were on the cover of Entrepreneur magazine like last month. And it just became this crazy journey where there's these catalytic moments in our business that I don't know whether it's we took advantage of it because we knew how to, or it's literally 100% luck, which sometimes I feel like it is. But we were able to recognize those moments and thankfully capitalize on it.
Awesome.
Do you think that your ability to like warm up to difficult circumstances, like through martial arts, primed you for like these? Because this is stuff that wouldn't happen to normal people. This is not run of the mill stuff.
Dude, I think about that. So I used to also pull like one or two all-nighters every single week. Like literally, like it was really bad. Like, that's what I was known for amongst my friends, like, and my roommates, you know. I would literally just stay up all night and work because I knew if I got into a momentum, mm-hmm. I had to keep that momentum going or else things won't get done. And so I sleep now. I sleep a lot now. Dude, way too much. But there's a period of probably 5 years where I probably sacrificed, you know, a lot of my later years to make things happen. And but those were moments where I was just so excited about an opportunity that came to the table that I knew I had to just take that challenge and sacrifice myself to do that. So, you know, for the better or worse, I like now that I'm older and the business is doing better, happiness is more important than any of these things. And I also realize, like, even if the business doesn't make it, if I have happiness, then it doesn't matter. And if all the people around me have happiness, then it doesn't matter. But that's also a loaded thing. So it's like, what does that even mean? But that's probably the next challenge that I'm going to undertake.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I've always believed in work-life balance. And honestly, until like grad school, I had never pulled an all-nighter. I was like, nope, need my sleep. Nope. Nothing is more important than my sleep.
Right. Good boundaries, man.
It's really good.
Yeah, that's
good. Like, it really screws you up if you don't get your sleep in.
You matured earlier than I did that. You learned the lessons of life quicker than I did. It's important.
You got to borrow chi from the future for all-nighters now. For me, at least, I'm in my mid-30s. I can't be doing that, dude. Like,
dog just kills me.
Is there something behind your art? Is there something that, like, drives your muralist art?
The mural art is a little bit different from my personal art. And I mean, I'll share my personal art later. It's over there. But like for my personal art, I write, let me see if I have it in my bookshelf. But yeah, I do. So I actually, this is my first show, Oral Floral. It was like my first solo show with this gallery that used to represent me. Nice. But I wrote, yeah, like I literally designed, and I would write an entire book, like on all my art and what it represents. And I think from my film background, I think there's a lot of storytelling that's really important that can't be told by just visual expression. That yeah, you know, I literally have like 15, 16, 17, like, I don't know how many sketchbooks I have, but I have sketchbooks that are just filled with writing and art and everything that ultimately translates into, you know, my larger, whether you can see it here or not, but like a lot of my like larger pieces that exist, like all those in the background.
Those are awesome.
So
I had no idea about this side of you, man. That's really impressive.
Yeah, you mentioned like you spent a lot of time at like dojos and also you said art studios when you were younger. Is that correct?
My art comes from, so Bruce Lee used to draw all of the different like techniques that he would do.
Yeah, the drawing. You
know? Yeah, the draw. Yeah. So I would just draw, like, I wanted to be like Bruce Lee, so I used to draw in my sketchbook all the time.
Guilty as charged too, man.
Dude, he did a lot for us, man.
He paved the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been a recurring theme in like all our guests, really, and all the guys we talk to. Like Bruce Lee just stands out even like 50 years later.
Dude, who's the first badass Asian dude you think of? You know, Bruce Lee is immediately number one, and then it's Jackie Chan. Like, he represents badass Asian dude to me.
The qualifying thing is you gotta do your own stunts, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, not at this age.
But then you said your mural art is kind of a separate thing. That's a different motivation.
Yeah. That. What's crazy is like originally my mural art used to represent a lot more of myself and it used to be a lot darker as a whole. But then when it had to become a business, it starts getting skewed with what the businesses want. And it's a lot more colorful now. You know, I still have my personal work though.
I know when you said every person has ups and downs, and some of our listeners are going to be curious about some of the darker times in our lives. And would you mind telling us a couple of stories about that kind of period of art?
I mean, yeah, like, you know, I mean, I've had really dark times in my life when I didn't have a lot of money and, you know, I would be sleeping in my car and I would be trying to make things work. And, you know, there, just like substances and things like that. But I think like the darkest moments in my life have always come in like the form of my relationships with people, unfortunately, probably because I get overinvested in certain things or I get underinvested in certain things, which is also bad. And that resulting in way more mental anguish than I should let on. And early on in the business, it's weird because it's almost like Pavlovian, but the conditioning for me was I would deal with a lot of my mental anguish by putting myself into a lot of work. And the work side would succeed because I'm just investing time into it. And I would sacrifice a lot of human relationships and relationships with, if I did come out of a really bad breakup or a really bad like situation, mm-hmm. I put myself into my work and that became successful. So now I condition myself to like believe that this is the thing I should pursue. But now I'm trying to reset and realize that there is a balance between those two worlds where I can maintain my relationships with my friends, significant others, my family, while also trying to make business work. And, you know, it's hard. I struggle with it deeply still because I think I get overly invested and focused in work. And I feel this is probably my really bad CEO side of me, but, and speaking very honestly, like there's a part of me that does get really jealous and kind of bitter when I see people that are just enjoying their life way more than I am when I feel like I'm just working all the time. But then at the same time, I realize like the fact that I do feel bitter towards that is that's a core thing that I really want. And that's a core thing that everyone really wants. And that becomes way more important than money or work or success or what you're representing yourself as. Because at the end of the day, that's the being that we all want to be. You know, why do we pursue money? Why do we pursue all this stuff?
I just got hairs on the back of my neck stand up when you said that, because there's so many people who are going to listen to this and be like, that's the path that I'm on. That's like exactly where I'm pointed at, is I'm going to throw myself in work when relationships just don't go my way or I'm having problems, you know, and I just want it to be easy.
Yeah. Dude, hustle culture is bullshit, in my opinion. Like
you heard it, guys. You heard it.
Like, guys.
That it's such a one-dimensional way of thinking. And I lived it very, like, too much. So at a certain point in my life, to a point where I literally did give up weight. Like, I didn't see my family for, like, who I love, you know, like, because I thought work was way more important. And now that I see them getting older, I'm just like, what? Like, I feel like I wasted that time not seeing them, which is funny, right? Like, because people feel like they waste their time, like, not working towards something.
Yeah. How's that rebalancing going for you now?
I think it's good, like, in the sense that that intensity of work, which probably comes from my martial arts and the intensity of training that I was putting myself through, you know, 6 hours a day, I would wake up in the morning and I would run 5 miles. I'd go to school, then I'd go to training at, like, the supplementation, that energy, now that I have more time, I'm putting into cultivating relationships and hanging out with people and learning, relearning how to just like speak in a non-business way. You know, it's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like when you're talking about like relationships and stuff, like you have this business side and then like, you know, just regular Kent who's trying to like find where he is like with people again. What is like going through success done to that, like both parts of you? Like what, that's such a weird thing for people that, you know, I don't know. The question I'm trying to ask is, can you tell us about how to manage these different parts? And
yeah, I mean, it's, like, I don't have an answer because I don't know yet, to be honest, you know.
Oh,
I'm,
man,
like, working through it. Yeah, I don't know if there's, like, a secret sauce to anything in life. But I guess it's more just trying to – what's funny is when you do get embedded so deeply into one culture and that begins to define you, then people will look at you as that one-dimensional thing. And then you start attracting those – type of people also, versus, you know, I think that's what my co-founder Ryan does so well, where he's like a guy that just, he values happiness a lot. He values relationships a lot. Like he's amazing at building partnerships for that reason, you know? And that's, becomes, and I value the fuck out of him, obviously, you know, and it's really, I guess in like the journey of Neuro, there's obviously times where like as co-founders with a friend, you're like, oh my God, dude, like, why aren't you doing this? Or why, like, he probably feels the same way towards me at times, but he'll never let that like change his expression of who he is. And I'm so fortunate to have that type of person as my right hand / equal.
Yeah.
And I want that in every aspect of my life. You know, I never want to be next to someone that feels that they want something from me more like in a financial or non-human way. And I guess that's the way I try to look at human interaction, you know, like to be able to have honest conversations with you guys and, you know, have honest conversations with a significant other. So it doesn't feel like they, you know, I don't want to be that rich guy that has the bimbo wife that just wants you for the money. I want, it doesn't matter who they are. Like, I just want like real connection, whatever that
the guy with the cargo shorts is. At the Ferrari dealership.
yeah, exactly. No,
he's like, I'm sorry, can I help you, sir? Oh, I'm just going to pay in cash, but you know, see you later.
Yeah, like, bro, cargo shorts? Where are you from?
I'm from Ohio. Thank you very much. It's very fashionable.
Yeah, we got to exactly. Get Ryan on here sometime, man.
Hell yeah. Dude.
I don't know him man. As personally as well, but I think I have some mutual friends with Ryan. So
probably, yeah. Ryan has a lot of friends. Yeah. Ryan definitely has more friends than I do. Yeah.
How'd you guys meet and how'd you guys decide to like do this thing together and keep going and hold yourself together throughout all the
like Ryan? So I met Ryan in Japanese class and we connected over Super Smash Brothers.
the real story.
Yeah, the real story.
Oh, that's real.
You can't pick Kirby all the time.
Yeah. Dude, we got so into that fucking game. It's crazy. We still play it. Like, I literally pulled out my N64 and we've been playing it again.
Oh, N64.
Yo, man. Dog, that's the system. And but then and he lived with me during that summer. You know, we just became really close friends because he used to be captain of his track and cross country team. So he had this athletic background too. Like, he spoke Japanese. Like, he had a chemistry. Like, I don't know. There were a lot of things that we were very in tune with. And, but then when he was 19, so a year and a half after I met him, he got in a snowboarding accident. I literally saw him the day before, which is crazy. But he got in a snowboarding accident where he broke his back. And he's paraplegic now. And
damn. The
craziest thing, though, is like Ryan just – it's something about his personality where he just – I feel like that would have destroyed me. Like I would have like ended my life there. Ryan literally just rebounds and just, you know – he talks about like it's because of the support system he had, but at the end of the day, he's the one that built that support system before that injury even happened. Like it's, and he just keeps going, man. Like it's crazy. And we just stayed friends. Like, you know, he wanted to get scuba certified. So I was like, dude, fuck it. Like, let's go get scuba certified. And we took a personal course together. We got scuba certified and now we go scuba diving every year. You know, we're going to Mexico tomorrow to go scuba diving. Like it's
a word.
Yeah, like it's
that's where you're going.
Yeah, for Nueva Vallarta.
Oh,
but
I've always wanted to go there.
Yeah, man, you should come.
I went to Cabo like Cabo last year, and I went earlier this year.
When did you go? Because we went last year too.
February? No. This year, February. I went scuba diving. I went snorkeling with whale sharks. It was great.
Yeah. That's what we did too.
Oh man, you guys are so lucky.
Dude, it was amazing. Cool. Yeah, we went to Cabo to whale shark dive.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah.
Dog, it's so, dude, they're so cool. And like, you know, you want to respect them obviously, and
right.
But they're just like these lumbering beasts of the ocean that just you're just floating there and they're just swimming around you eating plankton, and it was remarkable. And that was like a dream of Ryan and I's to do, you know, ever since we got certified. And but also at the same time, like that was a dream that he was pushing for, like for ever since he got injured. And that's why we got scuba certified and everything. And for me, my dream if you asked me early on in the business, it's probably like, I want to make this a company that makes like $10 million a year or whatever, or like 5 million, whatever like tangible number is. And now it's something so different where it's like, no, you know, I want this a company that just represents our lifestyle and something that helps other people realize that. So,
yeah, but that's a big dream. I'm just really curious. Bigger. I have no idea how scuba diving as a paraplegic works.
Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, the buoyancy that you have to maintain. It's really just managing that buoyancy, but with a different center of gravity, and then using your arms to swim.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
He found a way around. It sounds like this guy is great to have around you because he just doesn't get stopped by anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you
definitely have to have him on the show.
Oh yeah, he's the man. Like Ryan's the man. Yeah. And like I can only speak highly about, you know, my co-founder, which is, and hopefully like, and I want to believe that he does the same for me, because it seems like he does. And so I think that mutual respect is really important in anything.
Did you guys have any conflicts?
I mean, of course, you know, like it's kind of like, why am I pulling all nighters all the time and working my ass off and like my phone's blown up and I'm doing shipments and whatever. But that at the same time, it's probably just like, dude, Kent, like you need to chill out like, or whatever it is, you know? So it's, yeah, I think but it's not like conflict is only as big as you want it to be. Everything can be diffused. Like even in martial arts, the way you win a fight is to not have a fight at all.
Right.
So
fill out the vibe of the room, man. Don't be the guy who's looking for the
exactly.
fight.
Exactly. And that's something that's mental. And that's something that we want to represent. Yeah. Feeling out the vibe and understanding it and winning the fight before there's even a fight is the win.
That's like Enter the Dragon, where Bruce Lee tricks that guy to get onto the boat before they go to the fight island.
Yeah. And he's just like floating on on the edge of the boat. Like,
what's your style?
Exactly. Yeah. Bolts don't strike back. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
What's next for you in terms of development?
Personal development or business development?
Personal development. Although I'm sure the business is going to do amazing.
It's
already doing amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for personal development, it's always trying to pursue that balance in life. I really want to embed Neuro and myself more deeply in a sense where it gets integrated. I think there's a lot. For me, art is really important because it's an executionable way of expressing how I feel internally. And so I want to continue to push that. But, you know, ultimately, my own personal development at the end of the day is how do I just like live a better life, whatever that means. You know, how do I help people live better lives, whatever that means.
Do you have a journaling or a meditation practice?
Anything so like I don't meditate anymore, but only because I read more. And you know when you get in like the flow of reading and like you can't get out of a book? To me, that feels really similar to being in a meditative state. And it allows me, like I know it's still consumption, so it doesn't clear the mind, but it is that same process of being able to get in a flow state that where I find the value of meditation. Journaling, I don't journal, but I sketch all the time. You know, I have like I have sketchbooks that are, let me see if I like have one here. Like I just have them lying around everywhere. But
just everything's just right on that bookshelf.
Yeah. But you know, like I have, like I show you just, you know, I'll just have pages and pages of where I'm writing. I have like ideas written down.
Nice.
Like I'll like start storyboarding things. I don't know if it's even showing up.
But, a little bit. Like, you know. Yeah, if it's a little closer to the camera, then I think it would be visible.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's literally just so much of just writing notes down and like, but then also having
you know, like I'll go camping. I'll do like little sketches of like mountains. And
nice.
You are super talented.
Just, or if I have like different ideas on experience.
All right, people listening audio only, you're going to have to go on YouTube to see what's going on here.
But yeah, you know, I think there's big parts of, and it's not organized by any, like, you know, it's just kind of like random scrap, like scribbling and Japanese.
Totally. Gambare.
Gambare. But
that means work. What does that mean?
It means like work hard or go for it or whatever.
Yeah, like a positive, like, go for it. You know, like, I'll have my, like, yeah. You know, I'll have, like, my sketches, like, my drawings, nice. And then I'll have, like, my, like, a little paragraph on how I feel at that moment. So, I don't know.
That's awesome, dude.
Does nature make you utilitarian or a stoic? Like, I don't even know what that means.
Oh, that's such a good question. What was the answer?
Like, utilitarian because you have to survive in nature. Like, uh-huh. Right? Sure. But then you're a stoic because you are by yourself without any distractions. So yeah. I think it's both. I don't know. Like, it's stupid philosophical stuff.
Oh, dude, I'm a huge philosophy buff, man.
Yeah, I'm just writing stuff like that all the time.
You gotta be mentally strong to survive out there, too.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I love the outdoors. Yeah. You know, that's a big part of my life.
Me too, dude. Where do you like to go camping?
So we're going to a 4-day Ray Lakes loop in like Mineral King, High Sierras on October 4th, which is big, like our next big camping trip.
Oh, but right
before,
on.
Yeah, before that, you know, hitting all the 14ers in California was like a big goal of mine. I'm still missing a few, but.
You like altitude? I'm a slow hiker, man.
Yeah. 14ers is 14,000 feet.
I do it. 14,000 and above, yeah.
Oh, nice.
But you know, like a Colorado dude, I used to go ice climbing every year before COVID. Like that was a big part of my life.
That's
loved
the life in Colorado. People, yeah, like, they live that, man. They live at altitude and their skin's always kind of dry and ashy.
Yeah. Their hair's like all frizzy a little bit. Like, yeah.
They have a ton of mountain house just in their trunk.
Yeah. Dude, I just got a new car, an FJ Cruiser. I'm so ready to go outdoors. And like,
I love the FJ, man.
It's the, yeah. Dude, it's a monster.
Do people still want mints during COVID?
Dude, people want mints, man. People want mints and gum more than ever. It's
That's
great.
Crazy.
I mean, our revenue, we're going to do our best month this month. Every single month since COVID hit has been our best month. It's crazy. So
what's going on? People just drugging themselves up at home.
Consumer behavior is not changing. It's like people can't go out and get caffeine, so they're maybe chewing gum. But at the same time, you know, we've had these crazy, unfortunately, college campuses shut down, and that was a big market for us. But at the same time, Joe Rogan's talking about us. So it's like, okay, like that worked out.
That advertising is priceless on Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, podcast marketing, like badass Asian dudes. You can't beat it.
How was it like on Joe Rogan?
It was a... we didn't go on Joe Rogan, like, personally as a guest, but we, you know, he talked about us, like, multiple times. Like, he's, like pushing product to Tony Hawk, you know, like, and us hearing is like, oh, my God. Like,
that's good enough, man. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing. I'm very, very fortunate.
All right. Maybe. All right, the real question. Okay, go, Brandon.
Go for it, dude.
The real question. Is can badass Asian dudes get a discount?
Oh, of course, man. All my Asian dudes can always get a discount. Of course.
We're just going to be chewing gum like.
Yeah.
By the way, we're sponsored by Nero.
Yeah. You guys are like talking twice as fast. Like, you have said I talk extremely fast, which is probably for a reason.
So, hi, how have you been? We have some questions for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Well, no, that's awesome, man. And so camping, life balance, like, and best, I mean, that's kind of a crazy story, you know, like coming back to the beginning where you're just like, I just want to enjoy life too and live a lifestyle that I, you know, that you enjoy. And I think a lot of the guys that are going to, or even people listening to this, if you could just give them some advice about your journey, what would you say?
I always pursued the freedom to be myself more than anything else. And you realize on that journey that it takes a lot of hard work and also having to really work for other people, you know, like freedom comes with being around people where like, you're not just like an arrogant dictatorial prick, but finding balance with the people you're around to reach your goals. And I would say pursue freedom, but not with the sacrifice of others. So, yeah. I like it. Hopefully that's good. Hopefully that fits the badass Asian dude's morale and motto. And
this one of top episodes for me, man. Just energy wise, story wise. So I'm not
hell yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. This has been a very good episode for me.
And how can people find you?
You could go to getneuro.com. That's our website, getneuro.com. You know, catch me on Instagram. It's just my first, like my Japanese name, Kentaro.
Yeah.
I post some random stuff on there, but yeah.
We'll get that discount code from you later.
yeah, for sure. Homie discount.
And then you'll have 7 best months in a row because all the Asian people are like, yes, this dude is, we're going to buy his gum and support him.
Hell yeah. I love it.
You need to have you have to have an integration with camping, like somehow Neuro outdoor version or something, you know?
I know. I was thinking about that because like our mints are actually, just to criticize my own product, it's loud, right? Because in a tin. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, that's either going to attract bears or it's going to scare bears away. Like, I don't know what it is, but.
Neuro scares bears.
Away. Yeah, scares bears.
2020 marketing campaign. But, scare the bears with your Neuro.
All right. But it is a perfect outdoor product and a perfect camping product in that regard. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, for me, this was definitely one of the most entertaining episodes I've been on.
Nice. Just me talking about myself for like however long.
Yeah. Got anything else to say, Brandon or Kent or anybody?
Dude, I'm stoked to be on here and I'm stoked to be even considered a badass Asian because growing up, that is the farthest thing I ever thought I was. So I appreciate the time, guys.
Yeah, no worries. You are definitely a badass. And yeah, this was super fun. We are podcast with Kent Yoshimura from Neuro and all the other crazy stuff he does. See you guys next time.
All right.